Welcome, everyone, to the Happy Hustle Podcast. I'm your host, Kerry Jack, lifestyle entrepreneur, professional model slash actor, biohacker, and eco-warrior striving to make a positive impact on this planet. My goal is to inspire, educate, and entertain you while reminding you to enjoy the journey, not just the destination, as you happy hustle for a life of passion and purpose. I am so grateful and humbled to be spending some time together today. Now, let's dive in. What is up, you beautiful happy hustlers out there? Kerry Jack here, and I hope you're having a phenomenal day. I mean it, just enjoying this very moment right here and right now, baby. And in this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast, we have on Miss Kalani Michelle, who is an internationally recognized authority in global marketing and personal branding. And she also works with company brands. She has built multiple national and international brands, including her personal branding agency, Brandstrom, and is currently the on-air personality and CMO for an emerging commercial real estate platform. She is also an international speaker, serial entrepreneur, and event host. She has been featured in Forbes, and about 300 plus other press and media outlets, and she's on a mission to impact 1 million lives. And in this episode, we talk all about personal branding. We talk about how to utilize a strategy and positioning and messaging and digitization and design and development. And we kind of go through her whole process from a 30,000 foot viewpoint. And she also gives a really awesome resource. If you guys want to check it out, you can go to KalaniMichelle.com/blueprint. We'll link that up as well in the show notes. But you guys are going to love her vibe. She's just an awesome human. One I'm grateful to connect with and know and call a friend. So check her out online, Kalani Michelle. And pick up that blueprint. I definitely recommend building your personal brand. And in this episode, you'll find out why. You'll find out a little bit more about my story in terms of building my personal brand, some of the mistakes I made and how you can avoid them, and so much more. And just a reminder, if you didn't know, these episodes are actually on YouTube. Kerry Jack, The Happy Hustler on YouTube. You can watch the full video version of it. And it's actually really awesome because then you can see the video non-verbals that are unavailable in audio format. So yeah, studies show about 73% of all communication is non-verbal. So you're missing some serious non-verbal communication. When you go to the YouTube, you can get all that and more. So go to Kerry Jack, The Happy Hustler on YouTube. But regardless, this is gonna be an awesome episode. Share with someone who maybe has a personal brand, who maybe wants to have a personal brand and wants to maybe grow and monetize their reputation. So without further ado, after a quick episode sponsor break, we are going to be diving into this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast. If I asked you what is the number one health problem people from all over the world are facing, would you know what it is? Well, it's sleep. And if you guessed it, you'd be right, because the majority of people are lacking energy and not getting optimal sleep. And today I want to share with you a quick bedside routine that I use every single night that helps me optimize my sleep. And really, all it takes is a glass of water and two safe and natural magnesium breakthrough capsules 30 minutes before hitting the pillow. See, these seven essential forms of magnesium included in this full spectrum serving help me relax, unwind, and turn off my brain after a long, busy day so I can rest peacefully and wake up feeling refreshed, vibrant, and alert. And so can you. See, Magnesium Breakthrough has become a household name over the years because of its reputation. Just recently, the company released their fourth upgraded formulation that works even better than before. See, this is a simple, cost-effective solution I invite you to try if you haven't already. And for a limited time, my friends at Bioptimizers, the makers of Magnesium Breakthrough, are making something very special for the Happy Hustlers, and that is offering additional bonus gifts for the next 1,000 customers or while supplies last. They are including free bottles, yes, free, of their full line of digestive health supplements, including their powerful digestive enzyme, Masszymes, their patented probiotic, P3OM, which I love, and their HCLO product, which alleviates heartburn and acid reflux. That means you are getting free products to try that will support your digestive system, so you experience less bloating and gas throughout the day, and you have optimized digestive system, which means less energy trying to digest foods and absorbing more of the nutrients that you eat. All you have to do is go to magnesiumbreakthrough.com/hustle and use hustle to activate this exclusive limited time offer. I'm telling you, this offer is only available at this special access website. You got to go to magnesiumbreakthrough.com/hustle. Take action on this, fam. I'm telling you, these are my go-to supplements, and Bioptimizers is such an amazing company that I'm proud to partner with. So check it out, magnesiumbreakthrough.com/hustle. Now let's get back to this episode. All right, Kalani Michelle, welcome to the Happy Hustle Podcast, my friend. I am super excited to connect.
Carrie, I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I mean, you are an international speaker, a serial entrepreneur, an event host, a personal branding expert, and a happy hustler. And I'm super excited to dive into your expertise of personal branding today and beyond. But before we get into all that good stuff, Kalani, what is something interesting about yourself that not too many people know?
I can only wink one eye. I don't know how interesting that is, but it's a fun fact.
Which eye? Which eye is it? Come on.
I can only wink my left eye.
Oh my gosh. Please, yeah. Just for everyone watching on YouTube, please try to wink the right one for me.
You can't.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
Uh-uh. And it's not well, Botox, all right?
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Kalani, you have so many amazing things going on. I mean, we were just, you know, chatting in the pre-interview, and, you know, we've been friends for a while, but you have some really cool ventures with real estate, and, you know, you have your event series, and you got your personal branding agency. So we could take this conversation in a bunch of different directions. But first and foremost, I do want to start with personal branding, because this is something that I'm very passionate about. I think every single person should be very intentional about cultivating their personal brand. And, you know, for those of, you know, the happy hustlers who are maybe like, what is a personal brand? Let's start with a little bit of the basics. You know, talk to us about what a personal brand is and why it's important.
Okay. Well, we all have a personal brand, whether we like it or not, whether we intentionally build it or not. When we meet someone, right, say at the grocery store, for example, they automatically form a perception of us. If I meet someone on social media, or if someone comes to my, let's just say Instagram, they're automatically forming a perception. That's my personal brand. So as Jeff Bezos says, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. So essentially it's like your reputation. But here's the thing is you can intentionally build it or you cannot intentionally build it. When someone say goes to any of your social media platforms or even your website, it can look like a Dollar Tree or it can look like a Nordstrom. It's really up to each individual how how much effort and resources and intentionality they put behind it. And so that's on a high level what a personal brand is. And then what was your other question, Carrie?
Why it's important.
Oh, well, especially for those of us in business, you know what? Actually, corporate world too, whether you're an entrepreneur and a business owner, or even you're, you know, a corporate employee, well, guess what? When those individuals apply, let's just say for a job, the recruiter is going to type their name into Google and into social and see what populates. And again, that's part of their brand. And so as a personal brand is important because it opens up doors and opportunities for us. And if we want more opportunities, well, guess what? We should do a much better job of intentionally showcasing like who we are, what we do, our accolades, like everything online to be able to get more opportunities.
Yeah, so true. And I think, you know, I love how you said you could either be viewed as a Dollar Tree or Nordstrom, you know, and I'm not much of a shopper, but I know the difference, right? And it's one of those things you have to kind of identify right now where your brand image is online. And I like to use the BBG, Brand Builders Group, definition. You know, your personal brand is the digitization and the monetization of your reputation. You know, I think that's just really essential to understand what Kalani said. You already got a personal brand, whether you think you do or you don't. It's your reputation, it's your perception, and you have to be intentional about cultivating it. Now, speaking of cultivating it, Kalani, what are like the key pieces that every personal brand really needs to include? And what would you say is like the biggest mistake that you see with personal brands? It's a two-part question.
All right. So the biggest thing that people need to include, well, I would say what happens a lot of times when, because there's building a brand and then there's growing it, right? So there's the branding itself, but then there's also the growing the marketing piece of it. So I'm going to stick to the building it first. So one of the biggest things that people do is they'll just go out and they'll just hire a freelancer to create whatever without much strategy behind it, without much intentionality behind it. And the thing is oftentimes when a lot of it's DIY like that, or let's just say the business owner or the entrepreneur is building their own website and they don't even know what the heck they're doing. The problem is it ends up looking like Dollar Tree. Okay. But not only that, is the messaging behind it and the positioning behind it is off too. And so when we start with a brand, we go through five phases of building the brand, not growing it, but building it. So we have to look at the strategy of it. Like, what are the long-term goals? Do you want to be a speaker? Do you want to write a book? Do you want to pump and dump your company? Do you, you know, what exactly is it that these individuals want to do? Do you just want to build your brand so you can funnel leads into the company, right? So we have to put a strategy in place. And then from there, we look at the positioning and the messaging. And then we look at, okay, well, how do we take the strategy, the positioning, the messaging, and turn it that into, to digitize it, essentially, to actually build the brand, to design the brand that reflects the person's values, the person's, like, how they want to show up, how we want to differentiate them from their competitors, okay? So the design reflects that. And then from there, we take it and then we'll develop certain things like the website, or we'll implement all of the brand assets into their brand. And so that's more of the development. So those are the five phases that we go through when building a brand. So I would say the biggest mistake would be either DIYing it or just finding various freelancers to go ahead and implement the lack of a strategy. And yeah. So, because here's the thing, is they end up paying for it, but they're going to end up paying for it twice. And when they go and they do build this brand online, it's all over the place that it's like, you're not even speaking clearly to your ideal clients. Not only that, it looks like junk. So I'm not really going to trust you. You're not going to be speaking on my stages. I probably won't have you on my podcast. Right. And so the more one can make the brand look more professional, even if it's without spending, let's even just say, I don't know, $30,000 or more, then the more that they can look, make it look professional, the more opportunities that they're going to have because people are going to trust them more.
Wow. Very well said. And, you know, I just want to recap. So those five steps that you do in terms of building the personal brand, it starts with strategy. Right. Mm-hmm. And this is something I'll just raise my hand as guilty, because I spent about 3 years throwing spaghetti on the walls with my personal brand, not having a clue or a clear strategy. And what I often say is I did a lot of the right things, but I did them out of sequence without a clear strategy. Mm-hmm. For instance, you know, I put out a course before I truly knew what my content was and who it was for, you know, so it didn't convert. You know, it's like, that's the kind of stuff that I see time and time again when you're growing your personal brand. So you got to start with the strategy, then you got to get into the positioning, you know, and your thought leadership around, like, what is your expertise and how can you position yourself as that expert? Mm-hmm. Then you talk about messaging, getting crystal clear on the actual messaging around your brand. Mm-hmm. Digitize, right, was the next step, putting it all together.
Yeah.
Design, digitize, and then development. Is that right? Ending it with development?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is really, you know, going back to just the design, that is something like, it all comes down to trust, right? When you have a Dollar Tree, we'll keep with the analogy, brand, it's going to be difficult to build that know, like, and trust with your prospects or with your tribe. But if you have that brand that looks like Nordstrom or, you know, high end or whatever your, you know, values reflect, and you're oftentimes going to shortcut that trust building process. So, and it's really, it's imperative to make sure that you have the proper development of all of it, putting it all together. So that was really helpful just in terms of building it. Talk about now growing it. Let's say the happy hustlers out there, some of them have personal brands and they're established. What's the best practices when it comes to actually growing it?
Growing it? Well, I mean, there's a couple of different avenues, right? So that's where content comes into play. So creating social media content and a variety of it, not just, I like to say there's kind of two sides to content. There's one side where it's more like talking about your business and promoting your products and services. And it's more just about the business. But here's the thing is people buy from people. We're emotional buyers. And then we justify our purchases with logic. And so with that, it's like, how can we humanize the brand so that we can make those emotional connections with our audience so that then they trust us, they know us, they like us, they trust us, and then they purchase from us. And so when it comes to humanizing the brand, it's, like what pieces of your life can you showcase online? And you don't have to showcase anything that you're not familiar with, but it's or anything that you don't want your audience to know about you. Or maybe if, for example, some people don't want to put their kids out online or their marriage out online, which is completely fine. If you're not comfortable doing that, then fine. But can you talk about your hobbies? Can you talk about your childhood? Can you talk about your values? Can you talk about I don't know what you wanted to be when you grew up and all of those sort of things. So that's the content side of it. And then it's also looking at like, can you write a book? Because writing a book will add more credibility and authority to one's brand. Speaking, a lot of individuals that are really interested in building their personal brands, they do want to speak because that's how they can spread their message and make the impact that they want to make. So speaking, hosting events. Guess what? I'll give you a little secret. If you can get started, say you're not a speaker, but you want to become a speaker. If you start hosting even like little events, let's just even say 10 people, you host an event and then you pay for a videographer or photographer to come in, you get those assets, you can use that as promotional material. And the thing is, the more you host events, the more speaking experience you get. And then the more individuals will start to invite you to speak on their stages or to be on their podcasts. So that's another way, doing like a press and media run, getting featured in the press and the media. Oftentimes that's pay to play. So if you want to get featured in these major publications and media outlets, it's pay to play. And then, so podcast, you could do a podcast run to be interviewed on a bunch of podcasts. I mean, there's multiple different ways in terms of building or growing the brand. It could be even partnering with individuals or going live, doing like how we did the Make Your Message Matter earlier this year. I mean, that's another way of growing our brand. It's we all get exposure to each other's audiences because we're sharing the graphics, we're speaking in front of different people that were invited to be part of the webinars and stuff that we did, or the masterclasses that we did. And so there's multiple different avenues that one could take in terms of growing a personal brand, but those are some of the common ones that, that we'll put a strategy in place for.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's a really great hit list. And, you know, just recapping it, first you have to get like crystal clear on your content, you know, and what you're putting out there in terms of, you know, your IP, your branded content. And then, you know, in terms of growing your brand, I love how you mentioned hosting events, speaking. You know, you really do get great content from hosting events and from speaking, podcasts, and doing, you know, that circuit. You mentioned pay to play. We've talked about this. You know, it's like oftentimes, you know, most of those like Forbes, Entrepreneur, you know, bigger publications, if you see people featured on those, oftentimes it's pay to play. You have to pay upwards, you know, 10 G's just to get featured. So a lot of times it loses its credibility, at least to the inner circle of entrepreneurs who know, you know, that's the game. To the mainstream, I think it's still applicable and I think valuable. But yeah, it's one of those things, like, especially like the TV features, a lot of those, like, you know, segments, there is a big component of pay to play. And, you know, what Kalani's talking about is doing it more so organically with, you know, some of these events, the podcast, the content, if you can put a book out, and just, it's a long game, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, you're just building step by step. Leveraging other people's audiences, I think, is a really great one. Doing partnerships, webinars, live streams. There's a lot there, but these are just some ideas for the happy hustlers out there. And I just, you know, I don't want you to get overwhelmed, everyone out there, you know, listening and watching. Start with one, you know, real clear channel, I think, is important. Get known in that channel. Like, people talk about being omnipresent, you know. What's your take on that, omnipresence? I'm just curious.
So I focus on three platforms mainly. So, okay. But the thing is we repurpose the content to all three platforms. So our focus is Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. So it's Facebook business and Facebook personal. So I guess in a sense, it's four different profiles. But we repurpose the content, almost all the content. So first we'll post on Instagram, we move it over to, it automatically moves to Facebook business, we move it over to Facebook personal, and then we move it over to LinkedIn. And so something like that, it's like, it's easy to get that extra reach because the content is applicable to all the platforms. Now, would we go and take, like, put still images on YouTube? No. Would we go and put a 1 minute video on YouTube? No. Right. Unless it's maybe a short, but
yeah.
for, and same thing for Reels. Like, we're not going to go and take a 5 minute video and put it, or let's just say TikTok, and move it over to TikTok. So it's like, choose your platforms. And for us, those three are super easy for, because we've already created the piece of content. Should we want to move over to TikTok and other platforms, we would just have to look at repurposing the content more. But at this point, we really haven't needed to do that. And so, content, I will say though, Carrie, for someone that is, let's just say, just getting started with their brand, or they're finally being more intentional about it, I would focus on content first so you can start to get your message out there. Mm-hmm. And then from there, move over to some of these other ways of creating that social proof.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. You have to get clear on, like, your brand DNA, right? You have to know what problem you solve, who you're solving it for, you know, your special sauce, you know, that can actually help people. And if you don't have that stuff clear, it's going to be difficult to have, you know, people want to have you on their podcast or speak on their stage or host a live event with you, or like, any of these different pieces. You got to get clear first and foremost, seek that inward introspection, get, you know, very direct in terms of your trajectory and plant your flag. You know, I think a lot of people, they try to be too many things to too many people. And, you know, I was in this boat, you know, I was, I can help you with your biohacking. Oh, I can help you with your modeling acting career. Oh, I can help you with your business. Oh, how about balance? How about, you know, entrepreneur? Like, it's like, what? It's like, now I'm just, hey, you want to achieve blissful balance personally and professionally? I'm your guy. You know, I got the system. The happy hustle is the way. Here's my 10 alignments. Do it and see for yourself. You know, it's like, I think you have to truly get known for one thing, burst through that chasm, and then you can diversify. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I think so too. I mean, going niche in the beginning is super important. And then once you have your credibility within that niche and that offering that you have, then start to move into other areas if you want to. So for example, I'm playing in real estate, commercial real estate. Now we're launching a commercial real estate fund. And then we're also building out a marketplace for syndicated real estate investments. And we have some other things that we're launching with it. My point is, real estate's has not been my area of expertise. It's something that I am investing quite a bit of time in at this point to learn more about it. And then to build out this company, cause I am an equity partner in this company. And, but the thing is that's not where I started, right? Like, I started with the branding and marketing piece of it. And then I had this amazing opportunity come my way. And so I've taken that on, and that's, you know, part of where I'm putting my energy. And so, but I would focus more on, yes, just one area, monetize the heck out of that. And then once you have enough financial resources, then go when you can branch out into these other areas, but you don't want to confuse your audience yet. So I would say, I would stay super niche in the beginning.
Mm, yeah, really great point. And I appreciate that example. You know, Kalani got known for branding, marketing. Now she's breaking into the real estate industry and investing, and she can make that transition because she's already established her authority in this niche. And oftentimes you can leverage that authority and those skills in the new venture, right? Like, as I'm sure you are with your real estate venture. Talk to us just about that real estate venture. I know there's a bunch of people in the Happy Hustle community that are interested in real estate. So let's hear kind of what you're brewing up.
Yeah. Well, first I'm going to tell about the opportunity first, because it's kind of fun how it came about. So this was about a little over five months ago now. Someone that's now an equity partner in it, but at the time he wasn't yet. He had introduced me to this group and they were looking for a co-host for the show. And so I'm like, sure, like let's do it. And so I hop on Zoom. And apparently there were about five different names thrown around. Mine was one of them. And so I get on Zoom. There's eight guys on Zoom. And I thought maybe like one or two, right? Like I'm going to go meet eight guys. And it's just me like showing up like super bubbly and just chatting. So by the end of the call, they're like, hey, we want you as the co-host, but we also we may need you for your broader marketing services and capabilities. So I'm like, okay, so we're like talking, we're negotiating things and all that sort of stuff. And then they're actually, I've had three of them, Carrie. Have you read the book called The Athena Doctrine?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's very much about like why women make good business owners.
Oh my goodness.
Just like the feminine side that you bring to a business. And so I've had three of the partners say, Kalani, you're probably going to be the one running this company. Well, here's the thing, Carrie, I'm pretty much pushing the whole company forward. If but I mean, luckily I have a lot of support and I have great partners. And so, it came from me being a show co-host to me running the whole marketing and growth of the company to me really pushing the company forward. I mean, there's other partners that are putting in a lot of effort and time too. And then to me being an equity partner, to me being a managing member and all that. And it was literally just because of my social media presence for one, and the way that I've branded myself online. And then for two, my marketing capability. So I established myself as the resident expert in that area. And now it's led to these other opportunities. And so with that, they've been talking about starting this company since last year. And so now with me on board, it's really moving forward. And so we're launching a 506c fund, probably we're Q3 already, end of Q3, maybe Q4. Hopefully it'll be Q3 of this year though. So we'll be launching that. We're launching a marketplace for syndicated real estate investments. So like fractional, where investors can sell their fractional shares in real estate. We're building out a $100,000 studio in Murray, Utah, where we're going to be filming the show. So I'll be like the co-host for that. We'll be renting out that studio. And so we have some other things that we're doing. We're going to be offering like top off services for other raises, like real estate raises and things like that. And so we have a lot going on there, and it's a fun and exciting process. And I just love learning and growing as like a human. And so this is just an area that I didn't have a ton of expertise in. And now I just get to, you know, dip. Well, I have more than my toes in it. We'll just say that.
You're all in. I love it. I mean, what's super cool about that, Kalani, is, you know, you mentioned learning and growing and not being afraid of the challenge. And I think that's such a beautiful mindset, you know, going really full circle in terms of like the entrepreneurial journey. You have to have that mindset, that learning, growing, evolving mindset, you know, and you also have to be a little bit courageous, right? You got to be able to take chances, put yourself out there. She's, you know, co-hosting this real estate show and leading a real estate fund. And it's like, that's a whole new venture. And there's a lot of, you know, new things to learn within that. And you mentioned the Athena Doctrine, which I'm super excited about because, so this is so funny. My fiancés, we have like, we call ourselves like, we, you know, we have our alter egos. We have our godly names, her godly name, and like the aspiring, you know, female warrioress. And, and goddess that she, you know, strives to be. Her name's Athena, and mine is Zor. So we have, yeah. So we're like, are you being Athena today or not? Because, you know, like, we want to always strive to be our best versions of ourselves. So she's going to have to read that Athena doctrine, because I agree with you. Like, female business owners, I know a ton who are just, they supersede men in many ways. You know, there's just something about, like, putting it all together. You know, and I'll give the guys, all the fellas, some love too. You know, we have our strengths as well, but it's having that yin and yang, you know, of that both masculine and feminine, and energy is important in a business. So that's super cool. Yeah. Talk to us just, you know, I want to touch on it, like, the mindset of, you know, Kalani and entrepreneurship and personal branded. Like, what would you say is your mindset when it comes to really, like, diving into a venture like this, and just in general, maybe some, like, recommendations for the happy hustlers to really, like, build that mental fortitude and mindset?
Yeah. Oh, goodness. I feel like this is a topic I've been putting a lot of thought toward. And the reason is Carrie, I don't know how much you know about, like, my upbringing and all that stuff, but there was a lot of challenges. I mean, we've all had a lot of challenges. You know, there was a lot of trauma. There was a lot of just abuse and things like that. And so I have this desire and this perseverance just in my DNA that, for me, it's like, give me any challenge, and if I don't know a way to overcome it yet, I'm going to figure it out. And so that's the thing, is to me, like, you can't teach someone desire. Either they have it or they don't. Like, you can teach them strategy, you can give them all these things, but if they don't have that desire to, whether it's change their life or to do certain things, like, then what do? You can give them all the motivation in the world, but they're still stuck. And so for me, with my mindset, like, I'm so determined to create a different life, and I already have, but even more so, to create a different life than that I grew up with. And so for me, like, that's really my driving force. But even more than that, at this point, more than just creating that life for myself, is I've realized that, I was given the gift of perseverance when I should have been a statistic. And with that, I'm blessed to be able to speak, to be able to, you know, even create social media and content, just to be able to get my message out there to help people where they might be stuck in things that I was stuck in years ago, or they might be stuck in certain situations or relationships, or right, like, whatever it is, and to be able to show them and give them not only hope, but to give them, in a sense, like, a guide and someone that believes in them to be able to overcome those things. And so for me, like, my mindset is just give me any challenge and I'm going to make it happen. But not only that, like, I know at this point in my life, my mission is bigger than me. It's bigger than why I was here, because I wasn't given all this junk and the gift of perseverance just for me to be selfish and keep it all to myself. So.
Amen, sister. I love it. I mean, I want to unpack that a little bit. I mean, you talked about, you know, you should have been a statistic. And I'm wondering if you could extract the greatest lesson learned from your adversity as a child and maybe young adult, what would you say that greatest lesson learned from that adversity would be?
The only person that can change my life is me. Like, no one's going to give me a new life on a silver platter. No one, like, I had to work for everything. And so for me, when I was 15 years old, like, this was after my dad had passed, lying in bed, like, feeling broken, like, hopeless, like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm miserable and all the things, is I knew at that moment that if I wanted a different life, I had to create it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you have to take accountability for your reality. All the happy hustlers out there, I hope that resonates, because, you know, no one's coming to save you. No one is going to, you know, give you the silver spoon, unless maybe you're a trust fund baby and you're listening to the show. That's awesome. Super, super pumped for you. But that's typically not the happy hustlers, you know. Most of us are hardworking, you know, honest, just, like, hard charging, happy, but hustling entrepreneurs and people who are striving to make a positive impact while really, you know, infusing our passion and our purpose in that journey. And that's something that, I think I've always had that grit, just coming from, you know, an entrepreneurial upbringing. My dad and mom were both entrepreneurs, but it wasn't always easy either. You know, in my household, plenty of adversity, you know, to learn from and grow and adapt. And that one single truth, Kalani, is very powerful. You know, just taking accountability. If you are not happy right now with your bank account, all you happy hustlers out there, you got to take accountability. You have to realize that your current state is a direct reflection of your decisions, what, 90, 60, 30 days ago, right? This is the compound effect at play. Your micro decisions every single day add up to your current reality. And so if you want to change it for the better, heed this message from Kalani and myself and get after it, you know, and make positive strides every single day. Micro decisions equal your macro reality, right? Yeah. So that's us on our soapbox there, Kalani.
Oh, I feel like I'm always on a soapbox. Carrie, the first personal development book that I read, and you just nailed it. What was it called?
The Compound Effect?
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. That's a great book. Darren Hardy, he crushed it.
Years ago. And it's so true. Like, if we can sit and we can look at like, oh, life happened to me and all these things happened to me and woe is me. But guess what? That's not going to change your life. Mm-mm. So it's okay. These things have happened in my life. And I take personal accountability for all of them, even if some of it might be outside of me, but I can choose how I'm going to respond and how I'm going to react and what I'm going to do in the future because of that situation. But the thing is if we don't take like, if we don't take a hard look in the mirror and take personal accountability for where we are at in our lives, and it doesn't matter. It could be business, right? It could be personal. It could be any area of life. It could be being a dad. If we don't take a look at that and really ask ourselves, like, am I proud of the person that I've become? And if the answer is no, and there's changes that need to be made, like, it's up to that individual to go ahead and do it because no one else is going to be doing it for them.
Yeah. Oh, so true. You know, you mentioned like being accountable both personally and professionally. And I want to go personal if it's okay with you.
Yeah. I'm an open book.
I know that you went through a divorce recently, and this is something I think a lot of entrepreneurs, well, I mean, just a lot of the population, but more so entrepreneurs, I mean, it's over 52% divorce rate, but like entrepreneurs specifically, they oftentimes prioritize work rather than family. And then when they achieve success with their work, their family oftentimes is, you know, lacking or struggling. And I want to just kind of heed some of your wisdom that you've learned from your relationship. And I know you're, you know, out there living your best life now, and you made that difficult decision to take accountability and change your reality. If you would, maybe give us some of your experience when it comes to picking a partner and being an entrepreneur and how to best navigate balancing both your, you know, priorities in your personal life and your professional life.
Man, I could talk for hours on this topic right here. First, I want to preface it though, is my marriage, we were together for 14 years, married for 11, was not a failure. To me, it was a success. Maybe not success by society's terms, but success in that I would not be the individual that I am today without that marriage and without him in my life. He's still one of my best friends. Love him to death. We had a very amicable, conscious uncoupling, like Vishen Lakhiani says.
I like it.
And so to me, that was a success. There are certain things I feel like, especially as an entrepreneur, I mean, entrepreneurship is probably the best personal development journey you could ever take in your life, because you have, like, there's so many skill sets that you have to learn, like, and, you know, learning to manage your emotions and just so many different areas. And that, so I don't know if I have the authority or credibility to say, okay, this is exactly what you need to find in a partner, right? Because I'm still on that journey right now myself as I'm out dating.
Happy hustlers, listen up. Kalani Michelle. Slide in her DMs.
Carrie.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh, that was awesome. Okay, so, but one thing I will say, and this happened in my marriage, is we grew apart, but we were each growing in our different areas of life, right? Where he's corporate and I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner. And so he traveled a lot. There was a lot of distance between us over the years. Mm. And so with a partner though, I think it's important, or at least one of my core values is having like someone that can grow with me. They don't necessarily have to be on the taking each growth step with me, but knowing that like we're both growth minded, knowing that, hey, we want to make a bigger impact in the world and just having certain commonalities. And something that I would say to that is a lot of people don't know who they truly are at their core. Okay. And a lot of people are afraid to look in the mirror. In addition to that, something that can help people identify who they are is really looking at like, what are their values?
Yeah.
Okay. Oftentimes when we build friendships with people, we subconsciously connect with people based on shared values, and it could be any area of life. And so what I would say to anyone listening to this is look at what your look at what your personal values are. So for example, like some of mine are, integrity, freedom, being like growth minded in every area of life. And
that's why
I have
we get
some others
along.
In there too, but identify what those are, because that's going to help you show up. What was that?
No, I said, that's why we get along. Similar values, you and I too.
Yeah. We have very similar values. I mean, that's why a lot of the friends that we do have, the shared friends, that's how we all connect. And so, I don't remember what quite your question was, Carrie, in the beginning, because I might be going off on a tangent here, but nonetheless, identifying your values is super important because it will help you determine like, hey, who your friends should be or who your friends should be going in, you know, forward in the future. If you're who you might want to be your future partner, and also know what your non-negotiables are in life, and don't be afraid to set boundaries with people that might try to overstep your boundaries, but then also make sure you know your non-negotiables, so you're not choosing a partner that has some of those non-negotiables.
Yeah. Wow. Really great advice there. And, you know, just getting, again, clarity, know thyself, right? Clarity on your values and what's important to you, what's important to you in a partnership and growing together. Like, you have two options in a relationship. You either grow together or you grow apart, right? Like, that's those are the two options, really. And I know in my own relationship with Steph, my fiance, like, we have grown together. Like, we both have done things that have leveled up. Now, there has been areas where we have grown apart. And in terms of like professional life, we've grown together oftentimes, but like personally, like sometimes she's much more spiritual and I'm like, oh, I need to get, you know, really like dial in my spiritual practice so I can be on the same wavelength as her, you know, so we have to get back to that center. Again, I think it's really just getting clarity on who you're searching for. I always talk about the perfect partner page. I mentioned it in my book, The Happy Hustle. You know, I have a whole like chapter on loving relationships. And that was one thing that I like actually did. I sat down and I wrote out my perfect partner, every single feature, you know, and it's a little overkill. Yeah. You know, but you talk about their morals, their values, what they look like, you know, what their goals are, their family, like all these different pieces. You can pick up a copy of the book, shameless plug, if you really want to, you know, dive into it. But that is really like something that so manifested in my life, that exact person, because I was clear on it. And so now, if you're in a relationship and you're also managing your professional life, your career, your business, you know, you have to be very deliberate about growing together with your partner And it's not just, you know, oh, let's go on a weekly date night. Like oftentimes that's not enough. You know, you have to be more intentional. I just had Ben Greenfield on the podcast, and he said some very interesting things about his relationship with his wife, and they have scheduled date, like overnight stays, minimum two times a month. They do a morning prayer and an evening reflection every morning with the whole family, and him and his wife. They go on walks and they have like a journal session. Like, and this is like a daily thing, plus these like weekend trips or and stuff. And I was like, that's, you know, and they all have a set, like a family dinner. And it's like, these are very intentional, you know, like scheduled activities. And oftentimes we schedule our business, we schedule our podcast interviews, we schedule our, you know, content, but we don't schedule time with our most loved ones. You know, it's like, what? Yeah. So I just think, again, it's being intentional, right?
Yes. Yeah. And here's the thing is that, we can sit here and we can map out, right, what that partner looks like. But the thing is we can't map it out if we don't know who we are at the core. Okay. So 2 years ago, this was kind of the whole start of making these major changes in my life. I was on a 2-month road trip. This was during COVID and, road trip in the, I mean, I probably didn't drive more than 3 hours in any given day. So that's how I have done road trips, or that's like my biggest road trip. But when I was on this trip, what I did is there's a book called Code of the Extraordinary Mind by Vishen Lakhiani. And I always talk about this book. Vishen Lakhiani is a co-founder of Mind Valley. He and his wife actually got a divorce. They did a conscious uncoupling. That's where I got the idea of doing that too. But in there's 12 areas of balance. And it's more than just looking at your life from like the core four, right? That a lot of these bigger influencers will talk about, but it's diving into like, hey, what do you want your love life to look like? Your community life, your intellectual life, your environment, your financial life, like your friendships, your love life, right? You literally dive in and you map out, like you write out what you want it to look like. And what happened to me is I realized that, oh, I'm deficient in these areas and I have been deficient for a while. And do I want to continue to be deficient in these areas or do I want to make some changes in my life? And so since then I've made quite a few changes in my life so that I can live more of a balanced life, right? And I don't mean balance where every pillar is right at the same. For me, at least, let's just say if I have 12 areas of balance, one pillar might be at 20%. One pillar might be at 40%. One might be at 25. One might be at 65, but that's balance for me, right? Mm. And so I would say that that book will really help one get clear on the life that they want to live. And in addition to that is the values. So yeah. I have a document, and we do this with our clients too, our personal branding clients, is if there's like probably 200 or 300 words on there, and we have them go through and fill it out, because then we know like, those values reflect their positioning. Those values also reflect the messaging. Those values reflect the design. And so those two things are what I've used. In fact, if anyone wants that values document that we use for my agency, I'm happy to send it over. You could just send me like a message on Instagram, like just put like values or values document or something like that. And I'd be happy to send it over. But I will say that those two areas are really what helped me get clear. Or those two exercises, if you will, really helped me get clear on the life that I want to live.
Mm, so awesome and very gracious offer. You happy hustlers, take action on that. And I know you have another special offer for the happy hustlers in regards to personal branding. Do you want to mention what that is?
Yeah. Well, and the values thing, that's not a freebie. That's not an opt-in. That's literally just a document, a Google Drive document that we can send over. Like that's not anything else. But yeah, we also have a personal brand blueprint. So this one is essentially it's a 10-step blueprint to building your personal brand online. And so we have that. You can send me a message on social with blueprint or go to KalaniMichelle.com/blueprint. My name's a little hard to spell. So KalaniMichelle.com/blueprint. And that's a 10-step guide to build your personal brand online.
That's so cool. KalaniMichelle.com/blueprint. Take action. Even if you think you have your personal brand like somewhat in order, go through the 10 steps and just double check, do an audit, you know, and see maybe if you're missing a step. Like, again, getting back to that strategy, so important. Now, Kalani, I do want to ask you some of these traditional, you know, happy hustle questions I ask all my guests. First being health. It's a discipline I really prioritize. I think if you're going to happy hustle in any capacity, you have to have optimal health. What would you say is a happy hustle hack? Maybe a tip, a tool, a tactic, something that you do that maybe is a little unique that you could share with the happy hustlers in regards to health?
What I do at this point, I don't have a strict, like, rigid morning routine or night routine. I get things done. I am definitely a woman that gets a lot of things done. But for me, I'm at a point in my life where I'm trying to operate more in my feminine, especially after reading the book called Way of the Superior Man. Love that book. Mm-hmm. Because I, as a business owner, can operate a lot in my masculine, but that's not where I want to operate all day, every day, nor is it where I want to operate in a partnership. So I've been playing more in the feminine area. And so for me, I'm really into doing what feels good, right? Do certain partnerships feel good? Do other things feel good? Does going on a hike feel good? So I'm really at a point where I'm listening to my body and just being like, okay, is a day where I'm overwhelmed, maybe, like, I should probably journal and just write it out and get it out, whatever area of life it is, or go on a hike or listen to, you know, a visualization meditation or meditate or read a book, listen to a book, listen to a podcast. Like, I'm really all about, like, getting in tune with who I am and what feels good while also still continuing to drive the needle forward on the business front.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think knowing that we all have the masculine and the feminine sides first and foremost, you have to really be deliberate with which one you operate from predominantly and which one maybe is needing more supplemental intentionality behind, right? Like, I know for me, I operate more so in the masculine, and I have to be intentional about going through into my feminine. So that's a great takeaway there. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about money. I see money as a tool. You know, it's a tip. Or, I mean, it's an energy, it's a frequency, you know, it's something that makes you more of who you are, right? Do you have a happy hustle hack in regards to money, maybe something that you do to save or invest or spend wisely that you can share in regards to money?
I don't have a certain strategy I follow with it. I invest, I also save, I also spend money on what feels good. I'm not like a huge shopper. So, like, for me to go out on, like, a Saturday just to go shopping, just because, like, that's not my thing. Like, maybe I just value my time too much. So that's not really my thing. But with money, I mean, I look at it as, like, the more I give away, the more I get back in return, or the more I spend, in a sense, the more I get back in return. It's this constant cycle of energy, and the amount of money that we make is a direct reflection of the amount of value that we provide to the marketplace. So if you want to make more money, solve bigger problems and help more people.
Oh, preach it. That is gold right there. Let's talk
Maybe
about spirituality.
I'll be a priest in my next life.
Yeah, you should. Let's talk about spirituality. Spirituality in terms of, like, having faith in something bigger than yourself. I just think it's an important piece to the puzzle of life. What would you say is a happy hustle hack? Maybe something that you do, maybe meditation practice or breath work or prayer or something that you do to tap into a higher power.
I love this so much. I've definitely gotten a lot more spiritual over the years. The place where I feel the most connected to the world, to humanity, to the universe, right, to other people, is when I'm in the outdoors. And so oftentimes, whether it's sitting on the rooftop and watching the sunset or going out on a hike, it helps me to see that I'm so tiny in this world, right? I'm one of billions. In addition to that, my problems are so tiny and yet I make such a big deal about them, or at least in my head I might, right? Or stress about things a little bit too much when I realize like life should be good and easy and fun, but yet we make it difficult. And what, like, why do I make things difficult when they don't have to be? And so for me, spending time in the outdoors is super important to me. Love breath work. Breath work is something I want to get more into. I've only done it a few times, but absolutely loved my, the sessions that I've done. Meditation is a big one. I love visualization exercises too. I'm getting more into like neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, and just creating that life that I want to live. And so I'm being much more intentional in those areas because I used to, years ago in entrepreneurship, it was all about hustle, working 12 to 16 hours a day. And then I would have guilt if I wasn't working enough. And then I would get burned out and all the things. And I'm like, wait a minute, is this really like the life I want to live? Is this really the type of business that I want to live? And it's not. Like, I got to a point where I'm like, wait a minute, why am I building my life around a schedule, if you will, that I don't enjoy? And so for me, like, yes, I work hard. Like, I might only work 2 hours on a Wednesday, but I might work 4 hours on a Saturday. Like yesterday, I think I probably worked 10 and a half, 11 hours. I don't do that very often, but it's because I was at an event and I was speaking and all. And so I had some deadlines and some things that I needed to approve for my team. But like, I'm just at a point where I'm leaning into like what feels good. And I know that I can create a business or create businesses and a life and relationships and friendships that revolve around me living a life that I love.
Oh, so good. I am all about being very free, having, you know, good vibes and feeling at the forefront, like, of my days. Like, that's such a massive point that I just want to echo for a second. Having all the happy hustlers, you know, really heed this point. You have to be very intentional about how you spend your time and effort. And, you know, you don't have to do it in a conventional way. Like, I typically work like 20 hours a week. Like, that's like my workload. Like, some days it's, you know, like a couple emails. I do my key three, you know, my key three task, and I'm done. You know, I'll go fly fishing or into the mountains or whatever. I'm going to saddle up my horse in a little bit today. You know, it's going to be, I got a buddy coming over. Like, we're going to just hang out. It's like, you know, it's one of those things. That's you awesome. Just have to have fun in life. What's it all for if you're not having fun? You know, and it's like, that's just such an important point. And then having spirituality, you know, like being the anchor behind it, I think is just a really great point. You know, practicing meditation, breath work, prayer. I'm very spiritual, not religious, you know, and I just think that is something that I really believe in. I believe we all have a purpose and a higher power guiding us. And, you know, it's just, to whatever you believe in, just have faith in something bigger than yourself. So that's awesome, Kalani. Yes. Now, I do want to put you through the rapid fire round, and then we will wrap this interview up. This is where I ask you random things and you answer honestly, first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. Favorite food? Go.
Sushi.
Favorite movie?
I don't have one.
But if you did?
I don't even own a TV anymore. I haven't owned a TV in like 4 years. I've watched 2 movies this year.
That's so impressive. Wow. Okay. Favorite book?
I have some. I'm going to say right now, Code of the Extraordinary Mind.
Cool. Favorite workout?
Weights.
What's your spirit animal?
I don't know, but if I had to make one up, I feel like it would be like a feline, like a lion.
Nice. What about best business advice, if you had to distill it into one sentence?
Listen to your intuition.
3 things you're most grateful for.
My friends, my family, And I'm going to say social media because it's a free marketing tool where we get to connect and we get to spread our message with millions.
Oh, good one. And if you had one piece of content on a billboard for the world to see, and this was your last piece of content ever created, what would that billboard read?
Create a life you love. I say that all the time. And I mean it.
Oh, crush that rapid fire round, Kalani. And girl, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge you for sharing your love, your light, your wisdom with myself and the Happy Hustlers. I just so appreciate you and how you show up in this world unapologetically you and just helping others, being so generous with your time and your expertise. And I'm just so grateful to know you and to call you a friend and here to support you any way I can. So thank you, Kalani.
Likewise, Carrie, keep shedding your light in the world and you're doing an awesome job. And I'm so grateful to be your friend too.
Amazing. Kalani, give us some links where people can go to follow you online and find out more about you and mention that blueprint one more time. And then I'm going to ask you the final question.
Ooh, okay. Well, social media. So Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, Kalani Michelle. So that's C-A-L-O-N-I, Michelle with two L's. The blueprint, KalaniMichelle.com/blueprint. You can also send me messages on, I would say more so Instagram. If you're looking, like if you want that values document or if you want the blueprint and you can't find it anywhere online, feel free to shoot me a message on social media and I can get that over to you.
I love it. Now, Kalani, final question. What does happy hustling mean to you?
Happy hustling to me means working and creating a life that at my core, not just an outward projection, right? But at my core that I'm happy with.
Wow. Mic drop. Kalani Michelle, y'all. Thanks for watching and listening. We are out. Peace and love, y'all. Real quick, guys, I just want to let you know that my book, The Happy Hustle, 10 Alignments to Avoid Burnout and Achieve Blissful Balance, is still available for free, meaning you can actually get the hard copy of my book sent right to your door for basically free. All you got to do is just help out with shipping and handling, and we send it right to you. And you can get that at thehappyhustlebook.com. And inside this book, we share with you the soul mapping framework, the selfless service, optimized health, unplugged digitally, loving relationship, mindful spirituality, abundance financially, personal development, passionate hobbies, impactful work, and nature connection. All of these 10 different alignments are featured in this book and how you can happy hustle your dream reality. And I'm telling you, this is some of my best work. It's 150 power-packed pages, and we are actually going to be doing a new book launch via Amazon, and we're going to up the price, so it's not going to be free for much longer. But if you want to get it, you can get it now at thehappyhustlebook.com. Check it out, guys. And once again, I so appreciate you, and I am grateful to be happy hustling on this journey together. Now get out there and happy hustle your dream reality full of that passion, that purpose, and that positive impact. Peace and love, y'all. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast. I truly am so grateful that you took the time out of your busy day to spend time with me. Now, if you got any value from this episode or any episodes in the past, it would mean the world to me if you could please leave a 5-star review and share this episode with your friends so we can continue to spread this message. Guys, as always, it's been a blast. Now go out there and happy hustle for your dream reality.